Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, let's continue our discussion on the matter of the power of death and the victory that is in Christ Jesus. One thing I want to say to start today's message is to remind us that Satan has been a problem from the beginning. I said something last time that the kind of problem that Satan is not what we think sometimes, or more like the way he operates is not what most of us think. Satan has a way by which he operates. I said he was a problem in the beginning. And why was he a problem in the beginning? He went into the garden and went to tempt the man and the woman. And the way by which he gained mastery over them was by their falling for his temptation. When he spoke to Eve, he said, "Has God really said that you shouldn't eat of every tree that's inside the garden?" And Eve said, "No, that was not what he said. He said, this is a particular tree we should not eat of." And he said, "Why shouldn't you eat of that tree?" And Eve said that because the day we eat of it, we shall surely die. And then Satan said to Eve, "You shall not surely die." The moment he said that to Eve, he created doubt in her heart concerning the commandment of God. And once doubt has come into your heart, it becomes very easy to disobey God. And that disobedience that resulted from her listening to the voice of Satan was what eventually gave Satan the mastery over both Adam and Eve, because Adam also disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. I'm bringing an issue here. That is, he did not lord it over them by force. He did not have the ability. What he did was to go in and tempt. And I said last time that what he uses against people, believers in Christ Jesus, is the same principle. Because the Bible called Adam the son of God. That is, he was, when genealogies are being drawn, they tell you Adam of God. That is, the same principle is still being used today. When he was going to tempt the second man, that is Christ Jesus, you discover that he did exactly the same thing. He went to go and tempt him with a threefold temptation. The reason why he does all these things is because he doesn't have the power in himself to lord it over anybody. He only lords it over people who have agreed to obey him. You get my point? So the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6, it says the wages of sin is death. Now, what does that mean? When somebody has sinned, the recompense of that sin is death. And the power of death, the Bible says, is what Satan wields. That is, if somebody does not have sin in his life, if somebody does not obey the words of Satan, which is what we actually call sin, if somebody does not disobey the word of God, which also is what sin is, then Satan doesn't have any power over him. And listen to this again. No matter how much he prays, no matter how much he fasts, no matter how much he rebukes, no matter the number of bottles of anointing oil he uses, no matter the amount of shouting he does, as long as he's walking in sin and is walking in iniquity, Satan will continually have power over him. There's something people misunderstand about Christianity. They think it's just a religion. That is, you go and do certain acts. You believe God on Sunday, or you do the acts that are in keeping with faith on Sunday. But once you step out into the business places on Monday, once you step out into your career places on Monday, you revert back to your normal life. And you think that the prayer that you prayed on Sunday will fight against the devil to the next Sunday, or the next time you go for a prayer vigil. You don't understand that it is not like that. That is not what Christianity is. That is actually what occultism practices. That is actually what religions that are not true religions of God practice. They allow you certain modes of worship. They allow you certain activities to do without taxing your manner of life, without taxing your integrity. But with Christianity, it's not like that. What God says is, "Walk before me and be perfect." Are you getting my point? "And then I will bless you." That is, Christianity emphasizes a constant walk. I know I'm talking about the power of death. What I'm trying to bring out here is this. Satan wields that power of death, and when we are going to overcome him, we must go back to the place where he cannot touch us. The Bible says, "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the covering," all right, or the protection, or the shadow of the Almighty. That is what makes a man, all right, protected against the devil. What shields you against the activities of Satan is not that you shout and you fight him all the time, but that you dwell in a certain place, and that place is a place of righteousness, is a place of holiness, is a place in which you walk above the temptations of Satan. And let me say something. If in previous times you have been falling for Satan and walking in sin, then there is forgiveness in the power of the blood of Jesus. And again, that's what the blood of Jesus does. The blood of Jesus is not to fight against your enemies. Listen to this. The blood of Jesus is to get you forgiveness before the throne of God. The blood of Jesus is to revert you back to the clean level where Satan will need to tempt you again to have any power over you. Are you getting my point? It is when the blood of Jesus has cleansed you. Listen. It is when the blood of Jesus has cleansed you because of the forgiveness of sin, when you confess your sin to God the Father, that you now have the authority, the spiritual authority, to speak against the devil and he will leave you alone. Are you getting my point? You cannot continue in crookedness, listen to this, and speak against Satan and think that he will respect your words. Please get this point. Righteousness is what gives you spiritual authority. Are you getting my point? Righteousness is what gives, even Jesus Christ, righteousness is what gave him spiritual authority over Satan. Now, this was how he said it. He said, the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. Satan cannot hold on to you if he has nothing in you. And that's what you must understand. Satan does not hold on to anybody that does not have something in. If he has something in you before, and you renounce that thing, and the way by which you remove that thing out of your life is by prayer before God, is by confession, and then applying the blood of Jesus to your heart. That is, just receiving the forgiveness that has been guaranteed by the power of the blood of Jesus. That is when you can now stand up and tell the Satan that was there before, I command you in the name of Jesus, go away. Except you go through this procedure, you can never effectively get Satan out of your life. What am I going to explain? Satan wields the power of death upon anyone that continues to dwell in iniquity. Please, we must understand this. I need to say this one to all of us, especially in a country like ours. The reason why things have turned down, and of course there's a downturn all over the world, these things have come all the time because of iniquity. When they ask what caused the economic crisis that's going on right now in the world, they say it is the greed of men. That's just the way it is. When men become greedy, then they allow Satan into their businesses. When men become dishonest, when they become adulterous, then they allow Satan into their businesses. We must never listen. There is a spirit behind everything that you find on the surface. If you find success outwardly, there is a spirit behind it energizing it. When you begin to see judgment outwardly, then this is because something in the realm of the spirit has gone wrong, and the time of God's judgment has come. That's just the way it works. I'm trying to make out something here. That is when we cannot just teach the methods, maybe management methods that leads to success. I've read many books on how, why great companies succeed, why great businesses do well. A lot of those things, when I read it, I say, these are superficial analysis. You're analyzing the results. You don't know the root of it. If you go and read the book of Mark chapter 4, Jesus explained the principle there. He said, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man sows into the ground. He said, the earth by itself produces. He said, the man himself does not know how. That is, a lot of things that we see outwardly as results of success, the real thing that caused the success, the person telling the story sometimes does not even understand how it happened. Are you getting my point? But that's why I'm directing our eyes back to the realm of the spirit, that the power of death is what Satan wields over us, all right, if we walk in iniquity. And we cannot fight that Satan effectively except we come out of the place of walking in iniquity. Let me quickly say what I mean when I talk about the power of death, so that we get it very clear what we are talking about. Death is not just that somebody fell down and he knocked his head and he bled and then he died. That's part of the power of death. That's what the Bible calls the stink of death. He said, oh death, where is thy sting? Alright? It's not just the find, because let me just say something there. Death is actually a spiritual force. What we find outwardly are the stings of death. Are you getting my point? Or what the Bible calls the agonies of death. What do I mean by the agonies of death? Physical death, in which somebody dies and dies off, is death. Alright? That's one of the agonies of death. When somebody becomes sick, the sicknesses that we find, plagues, crippling diseases, cancers, all kinds of disorders of the human body, those are the agonies of death. Agonies of death can enter into a business. When suddenly businesses are collapsing. For example, last year, America lost 2.3 million jobs, and January this year alone, they have lost about 500,000 jobs. Those are the agonies of death. When people who were comfortable in their homes are suddenly ejected because they can no longer pay their mortgages, and they have nowhere else to go but to live on the streets. Those are the agonies of death. When a man loves a woman so dearly and therefore asks for her hand in marriage and marries her, and everybody thinks they are going to live together happily ever after, and a few years down the line, they have become sparring partners in the game of boxing and fighting themselves, and then eventually the marriage ends up in divorce, those are the agonies of death. Are you getting my point? When you get together your money, use your time, your energy, try to build up a business, and it collapses before your eyes, those are the agonies of death. Are you getting my point? That is, death is actually a spiritual force. The things that we see outwardly are the manifestations of death. You get what I'm trying to say? So when we're talking about the power of death, we are saying, what are the powers that lead to dysfunction that I have described? Are you getting me? And of course, men have come to understand. I remember once I was talking with a man. I said, how is business? He said, well, I cannot say that I'm a lazy man. I work like everybody else. Early in the morning, I've gotten up and I'm facing my business, but nothing seems to come out of it. He said, I don't understand what the problem is. That man immediately realized, listen, my problem is not physical. It is spiritual. And anybody who wants to deny the fact that the realm of the spirit exists is just fooling himself. Sometime ago, one of my colleagues who worked in Texas, that's in America for some time, most of his colleagues, Americans, used to speak as if there was no God and everything was okay. They tell you, if you want more money, take some more hours of work. Do you understand my point? He told me sometime later that he communicated with them when there was a great hurricane that devastated a certain part of the state, and then followed by this economic crisis. Are you getting me? And he said, oh, how is everything? He said, man, we have learned how to pray. And now, get my point. Because before, you felt that if you just needed a job, you go and get it. But now, those who had the jobs are losing it. You suddenly realize that there is something. Oh God, somebody quoted, I think it was Abraham Lincoln for me, that he said, having ruled the nation, he has come to understand that national development, the progress of a nation, is dictated by a force that is beyond the physical. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Yeah. That's why I did a series then titled Generating Spiritual Forces for the Redemption of a Nation. The things that affect the things that we see. The Bible says there are things that are not visible. Are you getting my point? So that's why I'm talking about these agonies of death. And I'm saying that whether we like it or not, there is somebody called the devil. And is out there trying to afflict you and trying to afflict me. Don't forget the other part of the title. I said the power of death and the victory that is in Christ Jesus. Now, that's what I want to say. That, you know, I said that something earlier, that from the beginning, there was a problem. All right? In the book of Genesis, you see it. In the Garden of Eden, after God created the man and the woman. And then, from that beginning, because there was a problem, the devil and sin, from that beginning, God also planned a solution. And that solution is in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? That solution is in Christ Jesus. And I like the way Paul explained it. If you read the book of Colossians chapter 1, he said, God has made known to us what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me explain what that means, that hope of glory. A hope of glory is talking now about the manifestation of life, which is the diametric opposite of death. That is, where we have suffered before, we will suffer no more. Where we have been in subjection to the elemental forces of this earth, we will no longer be in subjection. He said that thing is found only in Christ Jesus. Please, I want to bring out something here. He said Christ in you is the hope of deliverance. He said Christ in you is the hope of liberation. He said Christ in you is the hope of healing. He said Christ in you is the hope of success. Listen, Christianity is not just about religion, about which church you go or the church you don't go. What he's saying is that if the image of Christ is formed in you, the power of death is automatically broken. Oh, please get my point. And the aim of Christianity is this constant development of that image of Christ. Listen, deliverance, permanent deliverance, is in Christ being formed in you. Listen to me, what I mean by Christ being formed in you. Sin is in nature. What I mean is this. There is a spirit of sin inside people that propels them in the direction that is opposite to what God wants them to be. And there is a spirit of Christ, which is the spirit of righteousness, that makes your works righteous and makes you walk above sin and gives you the power to overcome temptation. And that is found in Christ Jesus. Real permanent deliverance. Are you getting my point? Real permanent deliverance is in the development of the Christ nature inside you. Listen, I said something before, that you see, Satan doesn't have power. Look, listen, Jesus spoke. He said, the prince of this world is coming and he has nothing in me. If Satan doesn't have anything to hold in you, he doesn't have power over you. The Bible makes it clear that he has been dethroned. He said that having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. That's through his cross. When Jesus died on the cross, his resurrection is a sign, was a sign that Satan had been defeated. You know, when I say Satan defeated, please get this point. You've heard me teach this before, if you've listened to me long enough, about the matter of hereditary curses, of generational curses. People want to spend time and break generational curses. Well, I have never been able to understand how that will work. Except, look, you can't just get up and shout and say, I break a generational curse. This is how it works. A generational curse is broken by faith. What happens is that you detach yourself from the former generation and attach yourself to a new lineage, and which is in Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, they have become new. All things are passed away. All the generational curses are passed away. This was why Jesus died on the cross, that he might break the generational curses upon your life. Listen to me, I don't care where you are from. I don't care whether your grandfather was a wicked dibia. I don't care whether he was a native doctor of so much notoriety that the whole hordes of hell are now living in his descendants. It doesn't make any difference. If any man and any woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. The generational curses are passed away. You say, Pastor Banky, but how come I've had problems that I can't attach, all right? Or I can explain by these generational problems? I'll tell you. He said in the book of Hosea chapter 4, he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I said something last time. I said, listen, that Jesus said something to the disciples when we read from the book of Luke chapter 10. He said, I was beholding Satan fall like lightning. I said, what you know is what gives you power. What you have beheld is what gives you power. And that is my assignment as a preacher. He says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. Behold your God. And I'm telling you again tonight, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, Satan has been cast down in your life. And I'm telling you, look up and declare that Satan has been cast down in my life. Say, in the name of Jesus, Satan has been cast down in my life. I'm not fighting him anymore. I am triumphant over him because I have believed in the Lord Jesus. Renounce sin, renounce unrighteousness, walk in the power of righteousness, and you will discover that Satan is permanently broken off your life. This is the way it is. God did not design that you and I should struggle and not against Satan. Look, he said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. That in any aspect of your life that you want to see the manifestation of the blessing of God, in any aspect of your life in which you want to experience the breaking of curses, what you will do is settle down and find out what God has said about you concerning that area of life. Oh God, there are so many things to explain. Because you see, there's a lot of times we quote the scripture, that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. What we keep on saying is that the way by which you overcome is by the blood of Jesus. So when we want to overcome, everybody will shout the blood of Jesus. Let us do an overcoming shout. We shout the blood of Jesus. Well, that's a very nice religious exercise, but it doesn't get much results if you look at it in reality. Because the way by which you overcome, all right, with the blood of Jesus, is not just by shouting that blood. I discussed that thing in my book, By Faith Acquire Life. Listen, how do you overcome? I told you before that Satan is an accuser. What he does is to plead his case before the judgment throne of God, using your sin and that of your ancestors actually as evidence, all right, against you. It's what the Bible calls the handwriting of ordinances written against you. So that God will have no choice, because he's a just God, but to rule against you. But you have an advocate with the Father, that is your defense lawyer, who died, who shed his blood, that you may be delivered. Now, because of the shedding of blood, the Bible says that we have come to Mount Zion. That's from the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. The Bible says that we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. That's verse 24. And to the sprinkled blood, which speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Now, please notice this. That is, the blood is speaking. Do you get the point? Let's go back to that Revelations again. He said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. in that they did not love their lives unto death. That's in the book of Revelations, chapter 12, verse 11. You notice that it was because of the word of their testimony attached to the reason of the blood of the Lamb. What am I trying to say? There's what I call the power of resonance. If what you are speaking resonates or is in agreement with what the blood of Jesus is speaking, then you overcome the devil. Oh, are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is, it is when your words, and later I'm going to talk about how we give Satan power over our lives by our words. It is when your words are in agreement with what the blood of Jesus is speaking. We say, oh, Pastor Banky, what's the blood of Jesus speaking? I'll tell you. For example, the blood of Jesus said that I have wiped away every handwriting of ordinances written against you. Are you getting my point? If you get up and go and say, look, I want to start praying against ancestral curses, you are saying that the blood has not yet written it off. But if you get up and wave your hand and say, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you, because the blood has wiped off every handwriting of ordinances against me. Listen, before the judgment throne of God, you are testifying in your own favor. You are saying, yes, I am free because of the power of the blood of Jesus. Listen, you cannot just shout the blood of Jesus as if it's a magic mantra. It doesn't work like that. You say, what has the blood spoken? Maybe somebody says, or the doctor says, whoever it is says that this woman, you can never have children. You say, no. What does the blood say? He said, I, the Lord, I make barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. He said, blessed shall you be in the field and in the city and in the fruit of your body. That's what the blood is speaking. The Bible says that blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. You speak what the blood is speaking. That is how you overcome. Listen, I said God didn't call us to struggle. He plotted the path of redemption through the person of Christ Jesus. Are you getting my point? And Christ Jesus took his blood and shed it. And once that blood was shed, everyone who is of faith in Christ Jesus, that blood is speaking the will of God concerning that person. Are you getting my point? Listen, the Bible says that the prince of this world is coming. Jesus was speaking. He said, he has nothing in me. Listen, except as a believer, you decide to go and start walking in sin and iniquity, Satan doesn't have any power over you. And don't let him pretend like he, as if he does. Don't stay up all night worrying about the devil. Stay up all night praying for other people. Stay up all night giving thanks for the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. Stay up all night studying the word of God and confessing iniquity out of your life. Because I said I'll talk about the power of confession because it's very important. Last time I said that sin is the number one way by which people open the door for the devil into their lives. If you don't open the door, Satan cannot force his way in. And once you have opened the door and he has entered, you can't just force him out except you first shut that door and then throw him out through the window, through whatever. Because the closing of that door is affected by the power of confession. It's in the book of 1 John chapter 1. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Please get my point. He is faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Once we confess our sin, whatever it is that you have done wrong, and you have confessed that sin, the power of the devil against you is broken. Then you can speak against that devil, whatever aspect of your life he's in, and you will command him to go out, and then he will be out and be permanently out. Do you follow my point? Listen, Christianity, there is power. Paul said that I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. There is power in Christ's resurrection. What does the resurrection mean? It means things that were formerly dead, God can bring them back to life. The body that the doctor has said will die and not live, the power of Christ's resurrection brings it back to life. Are you getting my point? I like the way Paul said it. He said, even though the body was subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. That is, a business that was dying because you sowed the seeds of iniquity in the past, when you go out and you confess and you repent of all your sins and your iniquities, then God will put new life into your life and you will suddenly become more productive than you have ever imagined. Are you getting my point? Listen, there is no method of victory in Christianity that is different from that of getting to know Christ Jesus and the power of his resurrection. The constant increase in your intimacy with God is what begets total deliverance. It's what knocks off the power of Satan off your life. It's what gives you constant victory, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because David said, the Lord is with you. He said, his rod and his staff, they comfort you. He said, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That is, there's nothing they can do about it. I don't know why we worry about those who can't do anything about us. He said, you have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. And this is a prophetic word. Because of all of this, because the Lord is my shepherd, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It is not, let's get my point. It is not a chance occurrence that I will succeed. It is a fact that goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. Why? Because I am walking with Christ in me. I am walking in the glory that God has begotten for me, has produced for me through the power of his sacrifice. Listen, the blood of Jesus cleanses my heart. The blood of Jesus cleanses my past. The blood of Jesus cleanses my history. The blood of Jesus has channeled a new course into destiny for me. Are you getting my point? I don't use the blood of Jesus to fight enemies. I use it on myself. Alright? The enemies are automatically powerless. Get my point? Even the adversities of this world, of this age, in this current season, cannot hold you down if you walk in the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. What do I mean by that? You believe on him who the Lord has sent. Who has the Lord sent? Christ Jesus. Who died and rose again. You say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I will follow you. I will obey you. I will not just use you as a charm. I will not just pray to you when I have problems, but I will walk continually before you. The power of victory is that constant walk. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. That is, I constantly follow him. Listen, that's what I want to understand today. That is, there is victory as we walk in a manner conformed to that image of Christ Jesus. As we use the power of confession to remove every hold that Satan will have had upon our lives, then we'll totally be free. He said, the yoke will be destroyed because of fatness. A lot of times we say the anointing, I see somebody will lay hands upon you, and then suddenly everything will be alright. Listen, a hand that is laid upon you that made things alright does one of two things. Either it is a final release of the power that you have been building up to because of the repentance in your heart. Otherwise, if it is not like that, all you get is a temporary relief. Your problems will soon come back. Listen to me. Eternal freedom is a matter of fatness, spiritual fatness. He said the yoke will be destroyed because your neck will have become fat due to spiritual nutrition. And Satan will realize that, come on, I have no hold upon this fellow anymore. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.